A very interesting day for me. I'm getting ready to go to the East Coast on Friday. I'll be in Bangor, Maine, and then I go on from there to Boston. But today I was getting all my lessons together that I've already prepared and could not find my lessons anywhere. I went through everything I have at least a dozen times. I know exactly where I put them and what they look like, and I could not find my lessons. My computer's not working properly, so I already have them on my computer, but I can't get them from my computer to email to my iPad so that I can go ahead and print them. So I have been in a major struggle. Not only that, when I came in and sat down with, what's your name? Bettina. I'm having major trauma tonight, ladies. I sat down with Bettina, and we were going over, just talking about tonight, and then I said, well, who wrote your lessons that you're doing? And she said, well, I got them from Brenda, but it was Kathy Dickinson who wrote this, and we're doing Not Your Average Joe. And I said, well, what about your Genesis study? And we got to talking, and I said, you know, I came prepared to teach Genesis chapter 3. And she said, Genesis chapter 3, we're on chapter 41. And I'm not kidding, I'm having a major heart attack right now standing here before you because I have no lesson on Genesis chapter 41. I have a lesson for you on Genesis chapter 3. However, God is faithful. So we are going to do something tonight. We are going to completely rely upon the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to teach you a lesson from chapter 41 because God is going to teach you this lesson. And Joseph is a wonderful character as we look through the study of Not Your Average Joe. He's been through all kinds of problems. He's been put in the pit by his brothers and treated unfairly because of their jealousy towards him. And you know the background because you've already studied that. And some of you come tonight and feel like maybe somebody's put you in the pit. And maybe the enemy's put you through spiritual warfare as well, and you've gone through a real struggle. And there are days that we get up and we just do not want to get out of bed. Do you ever feel like that? You just want to stay in bed, pull the covers over your head, and stay there the rest of the day, much less, you know, the rest of your life, maybe. So there are times when we get to that place that we feel like we're in the pits as well. But God had a plan for Joseph's life, and God has a plan for your life as well. And Joseph, as the end of the story, as you'll complete that in the next few weeks, you'll begin to see that everything that happened to Joseph was part of God's divine providence. J. Vernon McGee said that providence is God's hand in the glove of history, and that he moves his hand the way he wants it to go. And so God has a divine purpose. And Joseph could say at the end of his story that you meant it for evil, but God means it for good. So everything that occurs into your life, you can look at it as something that's evil and wicked, or you can turn it around into something that's good and blessed in your life. Because God will take those evil things that are so hard and so difficult and so discouraging and so depressing, and he will bring beauty out of the ashes of our life. And he was just about to do that in Joseph's life. So we see him coming through this time where he's treated unfairly. Then we see him that he's falsely accused by the wife of Potiphar. And you already have studied that, where he was put in a place of temptation, but he chose the godly way out. And rather than giving in to this wicked woman who was trying to entice him, he actually left his clothing, his robe, and ran. And that's a perfect lesson for us, that when we're in the place of temptation, that we should also turn and run and flee from temptation. God's promise is that he will always make a way out of our temptations, but it's up to us to make the choice to take that way out. So we have the choice that we can either give in to those things that are assaulting us, or we can turn and go the other way. And it's easy, isn't it, to let our flesh be in control. And as I was studying Genesis chapter 3, it all began back there in the garden, that Adam and Eve made a wrong choice, didn't they? Eve was deceived, but Adam was totally, willfully disobedient, and God held him accountable because the scripture says through one man, not a woman, but through one man, sin entered all of mankind, and we're suffering the consequences. So through their sin, through their willful disobedience, then we're all faced with those temptations. So here we have Joseph coming to this place. Now he's in prison, and he sees all of these things come to pass. And at the end of 2 years, after being in this prison, he has also risen to a place of, not of prominence, but of trust within the government. So they're trusting him, this prisoner, with certain things that he had. So he was there, and as he came to that place, Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh was the king, and he stood by the river, and his dream in chapter 41, verse 1 says, there came out of the river seven cows. And when you see the number seven throughout the scripture, you have to understand that it is used throughout from Genesis to Revelation, this number, and it means God's perfect number. So there were seven cows that were fine and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then seven other cows came up out of the river. They were ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. Then he slept, and he dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain come up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. So it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Now, if you and I had a dream like that that was recurring and we saw these things, we would be troubled as well. But isn't it interesting that God was giving Pharaoh, the king over all this land and territory, that he was giving him a warning personally. He was showing him these things. So when the Joseph came, Joseph was simply giving him the meaning and the interpretation of it. So God will often speak to us. And you know, God speaks to men in dreams today. Through the Holy Spirit, he will speak to us and he will give us warnings and prepare us for things to come. I remember several times in the past that events would occur, and God had been preparing me already in advance for those things. And how comforting it is to know that we've got a God who cares that much about us, that he prepares us for these things. And not only that, that God cared about the people of Egypt, that he was preparing them for what was going to come. These were heathen people. They served all kinds of wicked foreign gods. I mean, thousands of different gods in Egypt. The beetles they would even worship. That's why we see scarabs. Have you ever seen a scarab ring or a pendant with a scarab? That's a foreign god, an idol that they worshipped, one of them. So here was a heathen who was having a warning from the Lord. The Lord speaks to the saved and the unsaved, and he can take that, and he can write on the wall, can't he, his warnings to us. But he was giving a dream to this man, this king. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Of course he would be troubled. And in that he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Now these wise men were nothing but sorcerers, and they were wise in the ways of Egypt. They were wise in the ways of sorcery. So Pharaoh would call for these men. But of course, we know that the wisdom is not the wisdom of God. He needed God to speak to him. And so he called now for these men, and they told him his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret for Pharaoh. See, even God had a plan in that. Nobody could do this but God. So then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. Remember, the chief butler was the one who was saved. The two men who were in prison, one was the cupbearer and one was the chief butler. One was the baker and one was the butler, right? Okay, so here's the butler. He's always involved in it. Every mystery, isn't he? The butler did it. Okay, so he spoke to Pharaoh and he said, I remember my faults this day. And when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. And We had a dream in one night, he and I, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. You see, even that was part of God's providence, that God put Joseph in the prison where these two men were imprisoned as well. It could have been at a different time. They could have been in a different cell. They could have had no communication between these, but God knew and worked all of this out for his perfect divine plan. Now, there was a young Hebrew man with us there. He was a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he had interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. And he restored me to my office, and he hanged him, speaking of Pharaoh, or the captain. Then Pharaoh sent, and he called Joseph, and he brought him out quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt now? What's going on? They're opening the prison doors. I'm set free. I don't know what's going on, but now I'm going to be before the king. And how wonderful it must have felt to him to have the prison doors open for even a short time. And now he's bathed, and he's clothed, and he's shaved. He's a clean man. He's got to go make appearance before the king. And so nobody can come before the king without being properly attired. Then Pharaoh sent and called him, and they brought them out of the dungeon, and he did all these things. And then he said in verse 15, I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. He heard it said of Joseph. You know, people hear things about us. They hear our reputation. I hope our reputation, that people hear about us, can glorify God. Some of us may not be walking the talk, but our reputation will follow us. I love the story of Ruth, and Boaz spoke to Ruth, and he said, your reputation has followed you through the town, so I know all about you. I know how you did this, and I know how you did this, and I know how you did this. As believers in Jesus Christ, we live in glass houses. People are watching us all the time to see what our reputation is truly like. Now, we've got a lot of things going on in the political scenes right now, and those reputations are following people wherever they go. Things that they wouldn't have dreamed that anybody would be paying attention to. People are digging those things up. Whether they're right or wrong, I don't know. But our reputation will follow us. So he said, I understand that you can interpret a dream. And Pharaoh answered, saying, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Why did Joseph go through all of these things? So he could stand before a king and proclaim, the God who is the God of all things, of all creation, is able to give you an answer. And Joseph was so humble at this point. He was saying to Pharaoh, I don't have it in me. It's not me who's going to give you the interpretation. I can't do that. It was a place of complete humility. And God often has to bring us to the place of complete humility so that we're giving all the praise and all the honor to the Lord. The Lord will not allow anyone to steal his glory. So he brings us to a place often of brokenness. I wonder if that's why Joseph had to go through all those prison experiences. I think he might have been a little puffed up with pride because he knew that his father loved him so much. And he was given that special cloak of many colors. That was a place that was signifying to him that he had a place of honor in his family. And he said that God will do this for you. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank. And then he goes on to tell him all of these cows, how they were, one was full and one was thin, withered, blighted, and that the grains were blighted. And he said, I told it to the musicians down in verse 24, but there was no one who could explain it to me. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. So he was saying to Pharaoh, God is already showing you what is to come. God has shown us in his word what is to come, and we need to pay attention. All the signs are here for us, and we need to wake up as women of God and see the time is near for his coming. We need to make the most of that time. That's why gathering together for prayer is one of the best things that we can do, because we're saying, Lord, your will be done. We see the end times. We see all of these things happening. And we want other people to come into the kingdom before that comes. So he's saying that there's going to be 7 years of famine and 7 years of good things. So he's saying prepare during the good time for what's to come. There's going to be a time when we will have 7 years of famine. Hopefully, we'll be out of here before that happens. There'll be 7 years of tribulation, but God is coming for his church before that time comes, and we need to be prepared in our own hearts, don't we? So that we're ready to go with him. So there's a time of preparation. And he said in verse 28, this is the thing which I've spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great plenty will come through all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. Isn't it interesting that we can go through a time of plenty, and when the famine hits us, we completely forget about all God's blessings, and all we can concentrate on and all we can see are the difficulties that we're going through. I was thinking that on the way here on the freeway. I was thinking, God, I've lost my lessons. God, all this and that, blah, 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 blah. And he reminded me, wait a minute. You still have those lessons. They're on the computer. It just means a little bit of extra work to get them retyped now onto your iPad. So I have forgotten God's blessings, and it's so easy when we're going through a time of difficulty not to look back and count those blessings. So he said in verse 31, the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Now Joseph was not even referring to himself when he was saying this, but God fulfilled that by setting Joseph in that place. He was a wise and he was discerning man. We need to be wise. We need to be discerning. And so God used this to bring Joseph into this place, not knowing that he was going to be the one who would fulfill his own words. And Pharaoh said, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers of the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food will be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. What a wise man he was. Where did he get all this experience, do you think? Maybe from being in charge those 2 years of the captain's reserves in his household, all of those things, all those experiences God used in his life to bring him to this point where he could have this wisdom over all the food in the land of Egypt. God uses all these things in our life to prepare us for tomorrow. We never know what's coming that the Lord is preparing us for. Nothing is wasted in God's economy, is it? Nothing. He has a purpose in this. So the advice was good in the servants of Pharaoh, was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all of his servants. So not only did he gain favor with Pharaoh, but he gained favor with the servants. And Pharaoh said to these servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? That is so important to underline that. Can we find such a one as this, a man or a woman in whom is the Spirit of God? Do you have the power of the Spirit in your life? Others will take notice of you if you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We become His daughter. We become His. But there is an empowering that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where He comes upon us and overflows us with this power. And what is this power for? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This power is to be a witness in the world. And that's exactly what Joseph was being. He said, a man who had the Spirit of God. Now, it's interesting throughout the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit would come upon men or women for special acts of service, but the Holy Spirit could depart. But in the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon those people there in that upper room, when they were empowered, the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also His Spirit never leaves us or forsakes us. He will always be there. We can quench Him, we can grieve Him, but He's always there within us. Now, this man was filled with the Spirit of God. How else could he do this? He couldn't do this in his own power. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there's no one as discerning as wise and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. What an honor. What a responsibility. You know, with great honor comes great responsibility. When God elevates us to a position, He gives us a great responsibility, and much is required of us. To whom much is given, much is required. And you who are moms, you who are wives, you who are in the workplace, you've been given certain responsibilities, a position. Some of it doesn't seem maybe like a place of honor. I mean, how much honor is there in cleaning up the kids day after day after day, or changing their dirty diapers, or that kind of thing? Or maybe some of you work in the nursery or with the children. It's a place of honor, and we should see that. We should never despise the days of small things, but we should also see that it's a place of great responsibility. So we need to be women also who are filled, overflow with God's power, His Holy Spirit. And Pharaoh said to Joseph in verse 41, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. And then he took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck so that everybody in the country would know the position that he'd been honored with. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had, another place of honor. And they cried out before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. What a place of honor, but also what a place of responsibility. And Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, and you can read it. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Now, wasn't Potipharah the one that he got into trouble with his wife? Potiphar? I don't know if it's the same ones. But he gave him the daughter of the priest of On. He was married to a heathen woman because that's what Pharaoh ordained. But yet he maintained his integrity even there. Remember Solomon? He was married to about 1,000 wives and concubines. With all these women he married, some of them were political places that he'd been brought to, so that that country that he brought that wife from, that so that they wouldn't attack him. So he brought these in, but because of the foreign gods that they brought with him, it says at the end of Solomon's life that the sin that he committed was because he brought in foreign wives. And with the foreign wives, they brought in their foreign gods. But we don't see that happening to Joseph here. He was not influenced by the gods of Egypt. He walked in his integrity. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. And he laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. And Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. How miraculous was that? God was fulfilling what he had prophesied would come to pass. God always keeps his promises. I don't know what kind of promises he's made to you, but he's made plenty of them throughout his word. And we need to cling and hold on to his promises, because his yea is yea and his nay is nay. He will always fulfill what his promises say. What are some of those promises today? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What are some of the other ones that you claim? Can you think of some of them? No one can snatch us out of his hand. Perfect. When we feel like we're a goner, no one can snatch us out of his hand. Can you think of some more? My God will provide all of your needs. All of your needs, just like he did here, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you can look at those things and see them and claim them as your own, because God's given his precious promises for you and I. So much till he stopped counting. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Isn't that a wonderful statement? God has made me forget all the toil, all the problems that I went through. And it's kind of like giving birth. You know, the labor pains are horrific. But as soon as we hold that baby in our arms, we forget about all of those things. If we didn't forget, we'd never have another one. God has made me forget my toil and all my father's house. In other words, his heart was comforted. He's a God of great comfort. He comforts us with his comfort so that we can turn in turn comfort others. And Joseph was going to be able to in turn comfort the people of Egypt by his wisdom. And he was also going to give comfort to his own family in a period of time. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Even when we're going through difficulties and hardships, we can still be fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, and self-control. We can still be fruitful, can't we? Even when we're going through afflictions. And I wonder sometimes if God doesn't let us go through the afflictions so that we can be better fruit producers, so that we can abound in fruit, not just have fruit, not just have much fruit, but be abounding in fruitfulness. In the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. There was famine all around in all the countries surrounding Egypt, but in Egypt itself there was no famine, because Joseph, in his wisdom, had set aside that food in preparation for that time. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." Remember that statement in the New Testament? Can you remember the first miracle that Jesus performed? What happened? They ran out of wine at the wedding. And they came to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they told her what was going on. And she says, "Go to Jesus, and whatever he tells you to do, do it." And that's how we should be, shouldn't we? Whatever he tells us to do, we should do it. Obedience to his plan, to his purpose. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands. God's eternal purpose was in play. His providence was working. He was going to provide for all these people, but also he was going to provide for his own family, because they were suffering in the midst of this famine, as we'll read further in this study. And you will see that they knew that there was grain, there was food in Egypt, because their own son, whom they thought was dead, was the one that God put in a place of responsibility and gave him the wisdom that he needed, the power of the Spirit that he needed to fulfill God's plan and purpose. God's working in your life. It may not appear to be that way, but God's going to provide for you. There may be a famine in your life. There can be a lot of famines in our life, a financial famine, a famine of love and concern within the family, a famine of relationships, a famine of health. It doesn't matter. God will take care of you in the midst of your famine. It might not be in the way that you anticipate, but God will provide and take care of you through the famine. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the example that we have in this godly man, Joseph. Thank you that your Spirit's working in us tonight, Lord. We know it's not us, but it's you, and we give you all the glory. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to these women, whatever circumstances they might find themselves in, that you would show them that you are able to provide and do more than they can even ask or think, because you are wise and loving and compassionate God, and you have an eternal purpose for us. Bless these women as they go into their studies. Bless this church. Let it be a light in the community. And we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.